Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Dance Monkey Dance. I'm Chris.
I'm John.
How you doing, John?
Oh, you know, just hanging out here on the surface of the sun.
Yeah, it's been kind of toasty here too. The heat index the other day was like 113.
Mm.
So.
Yeah.
Yeah, good
times.
That's
healthy.
Fortunately, I don't work outside, so I don't feel so bad.
Yeah.
But I know you're outside often.
Yeah, it depends. I've been lucky that I've been indoors for the past several months, so.
Yeah.
At least for another month, and then start doing outdoors again.
Middle of the summer. Fun.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and of course, down here, it's going to be summer until, like, November.
Yeah, that's what it is here, too.
Yeah. Sometimes January. Depends. But, yeah, it's hot. It's nasty.
It's typical Florida.
Mm-hmm. So what's been going on?
Oh, not too much, you know. Waiting for the world to end. waiting to get some news about, like, you know, some kind of health issue, and, you know, either it's going to be too expensive, or, you know, I get to die sooner than I was expecting because of the shit going on in the country. But
yeah, things are kind of. God, what's the word? Disgusting?
Yeah. Yeah.
When comedians are losing their jobs on television because of the orange asshole.
Oh, but they say, really? That's not why.
It was a financial decision.
Yeah,
your most bankable property is costing you too much.
Yeah.
It's worth the time. You know, but I mean, they're openly making admissions of guilt and fixing the election and
nobody
raping
cares.
13-year-old people, and nobody seems to give a shit.
Nope.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, great times. Great time to be in America.
Yeah, we just have to wait it out.
Will it ever get better, though? That's the question.
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe they'll divide the country in half, and then we can, you know, decide which side we want to live on. The sane side or the shit show? Because there's something for everyone.
How do you think that they would divide the country, though? Do you think it's top and bottom? Do you think it's east versus west? Like, what do you think the best
way to split
this
is? I think it'll be like Man in the High Tower. It'll be east coast, west coast, and no man's land in the center.
That sounds about right. Where are you hoping is the good side? East Coast or West Coast?
Oh, I don't know anymore. I want some mountain retreat where nobody can bother me.
I do think, though, that I do want to retire, if possible, if I can ever retire, to England. I think England has been, I figured that, like, that's probably my best bet.
Okay.
Yeah. I need to go somewhere that it's cool in the summer, and England just seems like the best bet. I don't have to learn a new language. I don't have to, you know. It's nice and cool in the summer. Like most summers, it doesn't get above 80.
Yeah.
Like 80 for them is like a heat wave. And I was just like, oh, that's like a typical day, any day here in South Carolina. I feel like it become acclimated very quickly. Even with like some of the stupid stuff, like having to buy a TV license and stupid shit like that.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's hard to decide. Just has to have good internet. That's really what's important.
So what have you been watching? What you been doing? Anything fun? Anything relevant?
What have I been watching? You know, there hasn't been a lot on.
Yeah.
We did get some new TV, though.
We did.
Did you watch the new season of Strange New Worlds?
I did. I watched both episodes.
I was kind of impressed.
So the first episode...
I have lots of questions, though.
Okay. So the first episode...
Just in terms of...
Okay, go ahead.
You go.
The first episode was very much a continuation of last season.
Right.
I'm not really sure why they decided that they couldn't do the two-parter as the final two episodes of season two and then open season three with the wedding one. Because there's a literal, like, 3 months later type thing going on. And I don't know, it just felt like they wanted to recapture that moment in Star Trek The Next Generation where Best of Both Worlds ended on a cliffhanger that had, like, everybody talking for 3 months until the show came back in the spring or in the fall. Right. And they wanted to do something like that, but I just don't feel like the second half was, like, strong enough to carry a cliffhanger like it did.
Yeah, I was kind of lost because I didn't remember the cliffhanger.
In all fairness, like, it's no longer like, hey, 3 months later, you're going to get a new episode that's going to explain this. Now it's like, hey, in 2.5 years,
right,
we're going to pick this back up and we're going to just assume that you're going to rewatch the previous episode, I guess. And, you know, so that you're all caught up, but, like, they need to understand that, like, not everybody watches, like, everything multiple times.
Right.
So yeah, it was a little weird.
Yeah. The second episode I really liked.
Yes.
And now it's a matter of, so who exactly is the bartender?
So that is Trelane, who is...
Is it Trelane?
Yeah.
Or is he a version of Q, because John Delancey was the voice,
yes,
that calls him back at the end?
So there has been a lot of speculation in Star Trek canon since The Next Generation aired on whether or not Trelane was actually a Q or not.
Right.
Because of the way that he acted and the way that he presented himself, most people were like, he's a Q. Like, after seeing Next Generation, they were like, it's been postulated in books and all kinds of different media, comic books, regular books, that Trelane was a Q. And this was Star Trek saying, yeah, he was. And not only is he a Q, but he's the son of the Q that everybody knows. The one thing that they did, because everybody would have been like, well, how come in the original series in 1960, whatever it was, that Trelane doesn't know the members of the Enterprise crew, or that they don't, right, recognize Trelane? And they did a very smart thing of, like, Trelane looks like other people to everybody else. He,
right,
doesn't have his appearance. We see him as, what's his name? Rhys Darby?
Yes.
We see him as Rhys Darby, whereas everybody else sees a Vulcan and, what else did he disguise himself as? The wedding planner was a, what are they called? Fuck, I'm losing my Star Trek cred. The blue people. Oh my God. Anyway. So they did a very smart thing of, like, you don't have to worry about, like, continuity because this saves it.
Right.
You know, they did the thing with Q. Q doesn't appear as John Delancey. He's right. just a green cloud. So are the green clouds, is that what Qs actually look like? So I thought it was done really well. I thought, like, the people that are writing Strange New Worlds are not only fans of Star Trek, but they're answering questions that normal fans would have and just being like, well, why can't we explore this?
Right.
So, yeah, I mean, it's one of the best Star Trek TV series that they've ever produced. And it's sad that we've only got two more seasons before they kill it.
Right.
But I guess there has been some speculation that they're going, one Strange New Worlds is over. Since they have the sets, they're going to contract the right people to do like the original series, but like episodes between the episodes that you've already known.
Hmm.
Which is an interesting take, but you know, we'll see.
Interesting. But I don't know if it's a continuity thing that's bothering me, but so Scotty's not a drinker?
Yet.
Or did something happen on his way to chief engineer that he starts drinking? Because obviously in the original series, he was pretty sauced.
Yeah. I think a lot of this is the same thing that we see with Spock. This version of Spock is not the version of in the original series. And I think what they're going to do is they're going to step these people towards the characters that you know.
Oh, okay.
You know, Spock has this relationship with Nurse Chapel, right. And she rejects him for somebody else. So maybe this is the sign for him to start being more logical. And he then steps down that road towards the Spock that you meet. Because if you watch the original pilot for Star Trek that later became the Cage or whatever the two-parter was for the original series, where they retell the story of the Cage, when Spock lands on the planet, he reaches out for a plant and he smiles. And everybody was like, well, that's not the way that Nimoy portrays it later on. Right. And so Strange New Worlds has run with that and said, well, he's not the character that you know that Leonard Nimoy played. We're not there yet. We're going to get there eventually. Hmm. But this is his journey to that character. And I think it's the same thing with Uhura. And I think it's the same thing with Scotty. You know, they did that scene in this episode where in the first episode where Scotty's trying to recreate the beacon thing so that the Gorn think that it's a Gorn ship instead of the Enterprise. And what's her name? Carol Kane is there and she's like, you didn't write down your steps. You didn't do this. And he's like very unsure of himself to the point where like Pike comes down and says, well, how long is this going to take? And he's like, I don't know. She's like, you can't say that. You have to say, oh, it'll be done by the time we get there. And like laying that foundation of Scotty being the miracle worker and, you know, saying it needs 2 hours when he can do it in one. So that they're kind of bumping him towards the version that you know from the original series. And I think, you know, by the time that we get to, you know, season 5, and if there's that handoff, I think, you know, we've already met James Kirk. He's not the James Kirk that we know yet from the original series, but he'll get there. And when Pike hands over the Enterprise, he will be the James Kirk that we know, and it'll just be like the original series.
So he'll lose the porn stash?
No, that's his brother. That's George.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. George was in the original series and he dies. So George is on borrowed time. But yeah. It's a really decent Star Trek show.
It is.
So I went to see Superman.
Yeah, and how was it?
It was good.
Okay.
I my caveat to this is I really, really love Man of Steel.
Okay.
I think that the way that they handle Clark and they handle Superman and the shit that goes on in that movie, I think Henry Cavill, while Christopher Reeve was my first Superman, I think Henry Cavill embodies Superman in a way that nobody else has. And the more that I've thought about this new Superman movie, the way James Gunn is approaching this universe is not where Man of Steel was like, what would Superman be like in our world?
Okay.
This is, what if we took the audience into a comic book? And, you know, there's already metahumans. There's already one of the great things that I loved about this movie is we didn't have to relive Clark coming to Earth. We didn't have to relive the origin story of any of it. It starts out with a couple of lines of text up on the screen about how 3 centuries ago, the first metahuman appeared. Then it's like 33 years ago, the planet Krypton sent its last remaining son. 3 years ago, he comes out as Superman. And then it's like 3 minutes ago, he just lost his first battle. And the movie starts. And you're like, oh, okay. That's all the foundation you get. We're not going back to anything. And the movie just trods forward. It's like, okay, I can appreciate that. Like I get that. By the end of the movie, I was digging the whole cast. I thought like the new guy did really well. He's still not my Superman. But going forward, I think he is a great representation of what the DCU can be. And I think everybody did a great job. I think making Mr. Terrific a character that you root for, like Mr. Terrific's kind of a hard one to like get right. And they were able to find an actor that just like nailed it and like hit it out of the park. So, you know, even Fillion in the bowl cut was fun to watch. And Guy Gardner is not supposed to be a fun guy. He's supposed to be the prick. He's supposed to be the Green Lantern that you don't trust.
Right.
And, you know, by the time the movie's over, you're like, okay, I can see why they're putting him in the Lanterns TV show. I can see why it's all going to go, you know. So, yeah, it's a fun movie. It really is. They make him the Superman from the comics. There's lightheartedness. There's jokes. There's, you know, it's not as super serious as Man of Steel, and all that stuff, but like it's a comic book come to life on screen.
Okay.
And you know, there's jokes made at the expense of like the fact that it's pretty much like a comic book, but it's a good time. It really is. And Superman is hard to get right because
apparently,
you know, it's one of those characters that he's the strongest person on the planet. And how do you beat that? And there's, you know, there's ways to battle Superman, and they explore a lot of those in this movie. You know, this takes the position that Pa Kent is still alive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's in the trailer, so that's not really a spoiler or anything.
Right.
You know, he's still alive. That's not the reason Clark became who he did. But all of the reasons why kind of plays into the story. So it's a really interesting take on Superman. And I give James Gunn a lot of credit. You know, he's the dude that made me care about a walking tree and a raccoon. So, you know, but I do think it's worth watching.
Yeah.
If you're a comic book fan, if you're a superhero fan,
I will see it at some point.
I do think it proves that the fatigue that a lot of people have for superhero films might be more about Marvel than it is about superheroes in general.
Okay.
Because Marvel is very formulaic and it's very like, this is the story we have to tell. This is where we have to get to. This is what we need to set up. And I think that if DC never does another superhero project, this would stand on its own as like a really good film for like, you know, the way that the original 1979 Superman film came across.
Right.
You know, that could have just been its own film.
It should have just been its own film.
Well, I mean, part two, if they had let Donner finish it,
yeah,
probably would have been just as good. But, you know, it should have ended with at least the two. And, you know, then you get Superman Returns, which totally wipes out Superman 3 and 4, probably for the best. But, you know, that can't live up to the Superman mythos. And while I loved Man of Steel and its take on it, you know, the stuff afterwards, you know, Batman v Superman and then Justice League, they never gave Cavill the chance to really be Superman. He always had an issue. It was always like life or death. And in this, you know, Superman's having fun at times and you don't get that in some of the other iterations of it.
Right.
So, but yeah.
Very interesting.
Yeah. We haven't talked since the finale of Poker Face. Did you watch it and what did you think of it?
I did. I'm sorry that Beatrice is dead. Maybe.
it was a really strange finale for me.
Mm-hmm.
They have spent basically the entire season, the last two seasons, like Charlie's been on the run. And for a brief respite, she got to not be on the run this year.
Right.
And I think any FBI agent worth their job would understand the circumstances that led to Charlie running away from them at the boathouse.
Mm-hmm.
Especially when it's learned that the person that we thought was her friend actually turns out to be the killer.
The iguana.
And she had set up the other guy with the eye.
Right.
Like once that all comes out, like the FBI's got to be like, yeah, we're sorry that we chased you and we understand. And like, but you know, Howard Wolowitz is like, yeah, you're on the run now. Like, if I see you again, I'm going to arrest you. And it's like, what the fuck? It was a weird ending. And they do the whole, the whole fake out with the Thelma and Louise thing?
Right.
Where they're going to drive off the cliff?
Yep.
And I was like, okay, that can't be the end. Or that's going to end the season, and then we're going to start next season with like she somehow survived or whatever. And then it like rewinds, and I was like, oh, okay, that's different. And then it plays out, and I was like, well, that's really sad for Charlie.
Right.
Like for as good as the season was, it felt like that ending missed, at least to me.
Right. I mean, I haven't heard that they've announced a season 3, but they've definitely need to resolve some things.
Yeah, I can't imagine that Peacock wouldn't do another season of this.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, this is the perfect opportunity. Charlie is now a changed person because she was lied to and she couldn't figure out that she was being lied to.
Right.
You know, there's this whole thing like now where it'd be like, okay, that'd be a new thing for her to reconcile with, and like that really affect her, and see how that falls out. That fallout would be for her. And if they don't resolve that, then there's a real big issue.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. Poor Charlie.
Poor Charlie.
Charlie says, I love my good
and buddy. And we still haven't seen, what's his name?
Who?
The guy who gave her the apartment.
Oh, yeah.
Buscemi.
Yeah, Steve Buscemi.
Yeah.
Yeah, that seems like a weird thing to just drop.
Mm-hmm.
We got a new Tron Ares trailer. Did you see that?
I did not see that. Yeah.
Tells a little bit more about the story. Still very interesting. My only complaint is Jared Leto.
As in many movies.
Yeah. I mean, for as divisive as he is with fans, putting him in a Tron movie is a bold move on Disney's part. Because I'm not.
Why do you say that?
Well, because. So there's a lot of people that are just like, yeah, I love Tron, but I hate Jared Leto, so I'm not going to watch this film. Mm. Where a lot of people were like really high on the idea of seeing where Korra and Sam were going to end up at the end of Legacy.
Right.
You know, and being that there's no hint of them being in this one. You know, you might be able to get Sam back. I don't think you'd get Olivia Wilde back as Korra.
Why? What's she doing now?
Well, I mean, she's directing stuff and, you know.
Yeah, big enough paycheck, she'll do it.
No, maybe. But would Disney pay it is the question.
Depends on how well this movie does.
Well, but that's what I'm saying. I mean, you're going to pay Jared Leto, but why wouldn't you just pay for, like, the original cast to come back?
Mm-hmm.
You know, even if they kept it in this vein, because I mean, you know, with what they show in the trailer, what this story is going to end up being, they could have basically made anybody Ares and probably right. gotten the same result. Why it needed to be Jared Leto and not somebody else, or you know, hey, we're going to do this and they're all going to look like Sam Flynn or, you know, something else. Like, there's a little bit of head scratch in there on why Disney would sit there and say the right person for this is Jared Leto. but I don't know.
Yeah, I definitely want to know more about the story and how much being in our world is going to affect that.
Well, the new trailer lays out why they're in the real world. Like, that's not something you have to wait to find out for the movie. Like, you can see that in the trailer.
Oh, I just watched it with the sound off, so.
Okay.
Well, then that's good to know.
Yeah. So this is the same, Tron Ares is the same director as Pirates of the Caribbean, Dead Men Tell No Tales, which, in my opinion, is probably one of the weakest of the Pirates movies.
Which one is Dead Men Tell No Tales? Is that Davy Jones?
No, that's the one with Javier Bardem as Captain Salazar.
Oh, the underwater one, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it looks cool. The Tron Ares stuff looks cool. Maybe it won't be a disaster. Maybe it'll let Tron live on.
Hopefully.
I mean, how do you have Tron without Bruce Boxleitner? I don't know.
Sure.
But, you know, I guess we're going to see it.
Right. Did you ever see the Netflix movie Don't Look Up?
Yes.
With Leonardo? You did?
Yes.
I just rewatched it.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how relevant it is at this point. And not in a good way. Not in a good way. And how could they have anticipated that we'd have an incompetent president and people were just too busy looking at their phones? And I mean, it's like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Hopefully we don't end up the way that those people did.
Yeah. I mean, could it be that there's some natural disaster that's going to strike us that, you know, they're keeping us in the dark with?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's very possible in this day and age and the types of people that are like falling for this shit.
Right.
So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, they did say that we were going to get passed very closely by a meteor at some point in the next couple of weeks. You know, so they start their thing about, like, Coke should have real sugar in it instead of
right
corn syrup. And it's like, well, what about all the corn farmers? Like, you don't grow sugar cane in the United States. It's not a thing, man. And then I just saw something where Kennedy was like, in a win for Make America Healthy Again, Steak and Shake is going to serve Coke with real sugar in glass bottles. Oh, you mean Mexican Coke, which you can buy at Publix. You can buy them anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a win. Like, they were already producing that. Like, it's so stupid. Like, the stupidity is on such a grand level that, yeah, right. People, if Trump came out and said to MAGA, don't look up, they wouldn't look up. They literally would just be like, okay, whatever he says, man.
Right.
It's just, it's mind blowing. I don't understand. we're just going backwards.
Yes, we are.
It's sad.
Yeah. I did watch another old, old Disney movie.
Okay.
Flight of the Navigator.
Oh, okay.
Wasn't very good.
No, you didn't think it held up?
No, I kept thinking it was about his adventure in outer space, but it's really just him escaping from Howard Hessman.
Yes.
And
after three years, right?
Ends up in Miami.
Yeah, so it's basically the story of a kid that disappears and then comes back the same age several years later.
Right.
And escapes in the ship with Paul Rubens
as the voice. Yep.
And yeah, it's just his escape. It does have some interesting visual effects in it, though.
It does.
For the time, it's done very well.
Oh, yeah.
It's interesting that, like, we have these thoughts about what the movies are, and then you go back and watch them, and you're like, oh, this isn't anything like I thought.
Right.
It was going to be. Yeah, you see your childhood through rose-colored glasses.
Right. Well, and now I have to find the documentary on it, Life After the Navigator.
Okay.
Because apparently the child actor Joe Kramer, who played the Navigator,
yeah,
about almost 10 years ago, robbed a bank.
Oh.
He wore a disguise. He robbed a bank, escaped with a bundle of cash. At the time, he was homeless. He had a heroin addiction. He had suicidal thoughts.
Hmm.
Right after that movie, he took a hiatus from acting.
Yeah.
And now it's 30 years later, and he decided that he was going to rob a bank.
When did he rob the bank? Because he has credits up till 2024.
2016.
Oh. Did he go to jail for it? I'm assuming?
Yep. Yep.
Oh. Guess it wasn't very long.
Yep, he was on the run for 3 years. He got arrested, sent to jail, got the treatment he needed. So now he's sober, he's 51, he's returning to the film industry.
Wow.
And telling his story.
I mean, I'm glad he got help, but like, why would you just welcome him back after, like, he has a criminal history now.
Right. Well, it was a cry for help,
I guess.
Apparently he got into cocaine at 14.
Oh.
And by 18, he was using crack. Relocated to Mexico.
Jesus.
Got cleaned up for about 10 years. Went to a party. Said people were doing lines. I thought, maybe I can do just one or two. And that was it.
Jesus.
Sad. It's sad what some child stars go through and what others are able to survive.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, where you end up in, and the people around you, whether or not you survive it or not.
Right.
Because, I mean, in the same cast, you look at, like, Sean Astin as compared to Corey Feldman.
Yeah.
And it's like, why are those two journeys so different? And it's who you surround yourself with.
Well, I mean, Sean Astin, Josh Brolin.
Yeah.
Chunk.
Yeah.
Kiwi Kwan.
Like,
and who was the girl?
Carrie Russell? No.
Yes.
Was it?
No. I don't know.
Goonies. Never say die.
Carrie Green.
Carrie Green. Okay.
What happened to her? She's an axe murderer.
I mean, she hasn't really done anything since 2012. And before that, there's a 11-year gap in her IMDb. Like, there's huge mm-hmm. gaps in her IMDb. Like, she comes back for a while and then, I guess, decides she doesn't want to do it. Or she has enough money to do whatever the hell she wants. And
huh. Yeah, her bio doesn't really say too much about her.
Yeah. She's married to John C. McGinley.
The
guy from Scrubs?
This is guy from Scrubs. Okay. Yep.
That's interesting.
Well, he's probably making a good load of money.
Yeah, and so she doesn't have to.
Yeah. I mean, she didn't really work that much.
It says in their trivia on IMDb, it says that she writes screenplays for Hollywood but is relatively inactive in the public scene.
Good for her.
Yeah. So, yeah, but I mean, like, you go back to the kid from Flight of the Navigator, and it's just like, did he just not have a good support system, or like,
was single he being mother, taken no advantage siblings?
Of? Yeah.
Took a hiatus from acting, tried to go to regular school, and that's where he started doing drugs.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think a lot of, like, there's a lot of child actors, too, that, you know, they decide that they've done a couple of movies and that really isn't how they want to spend the rest of their lives, and then they just disappear.
Right.
You know, like the kid that was in, you remember the movie Daryl about the robot?
And yeah.
He's the same kid that, like, reads the book and Neverending Story. You know, I think he just decided that, like, yeah, I'm done. Like, I've done this. This isn't really for me. I'm out. Or even, like, the kid that played Charlie in Willy Wonka. Like, that was the only thing that he ever did. And he was just like, yeah, that's it. I'm going to go be a veterinarian.
Yeah. Smart.
Yeah.
Did you happen to see the story about the ghost hunter who, after giving a tour of the building where Annabelle used to be, dropped dead in his hotel room?
No.
This happened end of last week.
Oh, okay.
So he had given a tour in Gettysburg at the Soldiers National Orphanage, which is where allegedly Annabelle was doing her stuff.
Okay.
There was a New York Post article yesterday with the headline, "Demonic Annabelle Doll Absent from Hotel Room Where Paranormal Investigator Dan Rivera Is Found Dead." And then they were starting to have people were like telling, you know, people online to stop saying that it was, you know, it was Annabelle's curse. That's not what happened. And apparently
it was the curse, wasn't it?
It wasn't really a curse. The Warrens determined that the doll wasn't possessed, but it was being manipulated by an evil force.
Okay.
So, yeah. So, apparently, is this today? In the state police report, it said his death was natural. There was nothing unusual or suspicious at the hotel room. And now it's pending a autopsy results.
There were just minor bits of Raggedy Ann hair found all over the place.
Yes. Bizarre. I call that a clear case of fuck around and find out.
I mean, yeah.
If you disturb a haunted ghost, and now,
if you believe in that kind of shit, and like, yeah, I mean, it seems if there's no cause of death other than like dude just died, like that seems awful suspicious for like something paranormal.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Weird world.
Jeez. Have you seen any of the pictures of the Harry Potter filming?
Yes. Nick Frost looks good as Hagrid.
Yeah, I think he looks good. I think all the kids look good.
Yeah.
You know, they seem to be going for book accurate as opposed to like, you know, what people think these characters should look like.
Right.
You know, I guess in the books, Hermione is more olive skinned. So they hired an actress that, you know, wasn't as white as Emma, whatever her last name is. So I think everything that I've seen, even the Dursleys look more in line with like what I pictured when I listened to the books on tape.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, I'm interested to see how they're going to pull this all together with multiple episodes instead of a 2-hour movie. Can they make it entertaining, or, you know, was the movie's right to cut a bunch of shit?
Yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting how they pull it off.
I mean, it's the movies are so beloved by a lot of people that I wonder how they will cope with the idea of like Hogwarts is going to look different and, you know, all of these characters are going to look different.
Right.
You know, they've already said that they've cast Voldemort, but they're not going to reveal the casting because they want to keep it a secret. Okay. And it's like, well, they're not going to pull anybody in from the movies. It's not going to be Ralph Fiennes as Voldemort again. So I don't really know.
No, it's James Franco.
As Voldemort?
As Voldemort.
Okay. They should get Tommy Wiseau as Voldemort.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm cautiously optimistic that the Harry Potter series is decent.
Yeah, and I hope politics stays out of it.
Well, as long as, you know, J.K. Rowling isn't too involved in it, I think, you know. I think her spouting her bullshit is going to cause issues if she's involved with this TV show.
Right.
Like, just let it go. They're That's making right, the money.
Exactly. It's like, if it gets politicized and they decide to call for, you know, a boycott, it's only going to affect those people who are involved with the production. It's not going to affect her.
Yeah.
I mean, she probably wipes her ass with $100 bills.
Probably. Well, when she's not giving it all to the transphobia.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Don't know. Hope for the best. You got anything else?
No. Do you?
I don't.
All right. Well, if
I'm tapped out.
Okay. Well, if you want to get in touch with us, you can always send us an email at info@dancemonkeypodcast.com. You can follow us on Facebook and YouTube and let us know you're listening. So until next week, this is Chris.
This is John.
Have a good week.
If I take you back in time, you could be vaporized. It's very risky.